Praise God. Well, I've announced that I'm going to talk about prophecy, and I want to do that this morning. As much as the door will open, I want to talk about it, and I'd like to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 37, 38, and 39. Amen. Hope you all have had a great week. I want to remember those, Brother Mike, who's traveling back today. In fact, he was in Texas for his granddaughter's third birthday. And there's nothing like grandchildren. You'll drive to the far ends of the world just to see them. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. So let's remember him in our prayers. Praise God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, 38, and 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. Father, we thank you for the holy word. We're asking you to anoint it with your holy presence. Touch us this morning. Stir our hearts today. For we are certainly living in the last of the last days. We pray in Jesus' name this morning. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated. To start off with this morning, I want to go to the Old Testament prophecies, at least the major ones, and if I have an opportunity to minister along this line more, I will do so, but I would like to get as much in as possible this morning about prophecy. To be clear, many generations have come and gone since the prophets of old have spoken, and even the prophets of the New Testament have spoken. Many generations have come and gone that felt like they were the generation of the coming of the Lord. And in fact, we see that in the New Testament, when Paul would write that the coming of the Lord is near. And if it was near back then, it's really near right now. And if there is anything that you and I need to do, we need to get serious about living for God. Amen. Playing church is over with. Amen. We need to give our whole life to God because the day is at hand. And what I'd like to do is present the facts and to give an invitation to as many as will listen, an opportunity to escape the coming judgment, whether now or in a future generation. It really doesn't matter if he comes in our generation or not. The day of death is going to come to all of us, and we're all going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of the things that we've done in this life. Somebody said amen to that. Amen. It is a sobering fact of our existence. And one of the first prophetic stories in the Old Testament, of course, is the timeless story of the flood. Amen. Noah and the flood. And as we go further in time and we have more evidence around us, it is really evident, and the facts are overwhelming, that there was a cataclysmic flood that took place upon the earth. And you say, well, Pastor, why does that matter? It matters because it was prophesied and it came to pass. I want you to know that when the Bible says that something is going to happen, my friend, it is going to happen. And we know that because God cannot lie. And so I'd like to take a little bit of time in this and look at this fantastic story that we read in the Bible from a few different angles, and we'll look at it here from a historical point of view, and from an archaeological point of view, from a spiritual and from a biblical point of view. I think our faith is not just blind faith here this morning, but our faith needs to be based upon facts. Amen. I believe the Word of God. I believed it before I ever knew what I had in my hands. But now that I have examined it and looked at the facts and looked at all of the prophecies, now my faith is based upon fact. Amen. It is a fact that what we are talking about today is a true story. Praise God. It is a fact that what we are studying here this morning is in fact the Word of God. Amen. There's no question about it whatsoever. And so, if you will, this morning, let's turn to, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself this morning. What we need to see is if it really happened in history. And it is true. You can do research for yourself, and you'll find that every major civilization has a story in their past of a great flood that came upon the earth. Every one of them. And if it never happened, if it is not a true story, then why would all of the civilizations of the past have a story, some sort of a version of the story of the flood? The truth is, the flood happened. Amen. The truth of it is, it happened. The nation of Israel has held the story of the flood from since their beginning. And it's interesting to note that much history is suspect when it comes to major happenings. And some have even said that the flood is a myth. Well, don't listen to everything that everybody says. Praise God. They believe that for a long time it was a fairy tale until archaeologists began to dig in the 1800s and the 1900s, and they began to find things. It used to be said, that the Babylonian story where they were building the temple that would reach to heaven, that God came and confused their language, that story was a myth, and that there was no way that it could ever happen. But in their archaeological diggings, they found a cuneiform, which is a clay tablet, dating back to that time, and it was a story of the confounding of the languages, and so it wasn't a myth, it actually happened. Amen. And so when we talk about the flood, and I'm just laying a foundation here this morning, when we talk about the flood, it is not a myth. It was said for a long time that it was a myth that the biblical figure, King David, was not even a real person until they found an artifact with his very name encrypted upon it. And so every time that archaeologists find something, and this is true 100% of the time, they find that it validates the Word of God. It validates the historical reference that we find in the Word of God. And that it is a fact that the story actually took place. Amen. Another example of that would be the children of Israel coming through the wilderness. And as they came through the wilderness, they lusted after flesh. And the Lord sent quail. How many of you remember that story? Amen. The Lord sent quail among them. And it was some 50 miles in diameter and some 3 feet deep on the face of the earth. And they lusted, they tore the flesh out of the quail And they ate it raw. And as they were eating it, there was a plague that came upon them. And many of the children of Israel died in the wilderness. There were those that said, how in the world could that ever happen? But I want you to know it did happen. And it's not by faith, but now we have fact that it really did take place. 3 days' journey from Mount Sinai is where the Bible talks about it. And so they went 3 days' journey from Mount Sinai, and guess what they found? They found a cemetery out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness, and a place where no Jews had ever lived. There was no evidence of that at all. And on the tombstones, there were found Hebrew writings and pictures of quail. And so when you look at the Word of God, when you look at the Word of God, the Bible that you hold in your lap here this morning, the scriptures that we are considering here this morning, it's more than just a book. It is a supernatural book. I could go into lots of different areas, but archaeologically, there's some really fantastic things that have been found. And from an archaeological viewpoint, we can see that the flood actually happened. There is much that has been said about sedimentary levels, different levels of dirt and silt and so forth. You can see it when you go down the road. You can see different levels. People say, well, that's millions of years old, but the truth of it is not. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
One of the evidences that they found was a tree that was fossilized, an entire tree, and it was fossilized on a hillside with different layers of sedimentary rock and dirt and silt, and they said that it was millions of years old until they found the tree. Now, how could a tree survive for millions of years and be in layers of sediment like that? It would actually be an impossibility. What literally happened was the tree was covered by rock and silt and remains unto this day as a testimony to the will or to the word of God. Amen. They found on the top of mountains scattered bones of many different animals where the mountain converges at the peak, where different mountains come together at the top, obviously telling the story of many animals trying to escape the rising water. Animals that did not cohabitate with each other. Animals that did not live in the tops of the mountains. Proving that there was a flood that covered the earth. Amen. And some have said, well, there's not enough water in the oceans to cover the earth that high. But it wasn't just ocean water. The Bible says that the deep was broken up. And so there was obviously some tectonic plates that were shifted. God may have tilted the earth in a different direction, and the pressure of that tilting caused a cataclysmic breaking up of the deep. They have now discovered, you know, we're really smart, aren't we? They have now discovered that there is as much water under the earth as there is on the top of the earth. Amen. And quite enough to cover the entire earth with water. Amen. Doesn't it say in Genesis the earth was just covered with water, and then the Lord divided the land from the water? Praise God. We serve an awesome God today. We serve an awesome God. And what I'm trying to establish this morning is that the Word of God is true. And we not only have faith that it is true, but we have fact that it is true.
Amen.
Amen. And since it is true, let's look at the story of Noah. And hopefully that's a little bit of a foundation there for us to go ahead this morning. We can see that in the book of Genesis, where it talks about the story of Noah and the flood, that there was much wickedness, there was anarchy, there was self-rule, and it covered the earth. There was nothing in the earth that was righteous except the man named Noah. And the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus said it would be that way as it was in the days of Noah. Don't be discouraged if there are so many people around you that are not living for God and not walking with the Lord and don't have the principles of righteousness in their heart. You're not alone. There was another man several thousand years ago on a hilltop, and he was building a boat. It was more than just a boat. It was a ship. And he was preaching a message that sounded so fantastic that it could never, ever come to pass. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter about the numbers. It doesn't matter if someone to your right or your left is living for God or not living for God. Amen. We've got to get a hold of this for ourselves and make a decision to serve the Lord with gladness and with joy. Praise God. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, let's see. Maybe I ought to go get my phone and take some pictures here this morning. Amen. I was watching while we were singing that this morning. And we were all singing, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. It's all right to smile in the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. It's all right to be happy when we come to church. Amen. Because we are building something here and building something that's going to get out of this place when the judgment of God comes upon this world. Amen. It's worth our time and effort. Somebody said amen. Amen. It's worth our life. It's worth our money. It's worth everything that we can give to it. Amen. Because it is true. The Lord is coming very, very soon. And the world became increasingly wicked. And isn't that true of our day as well? We could just talk about America, but I'm telling you, we have shifted from America. Much of the prophecy that I've heard in my growing up years in the church and even in ministry, much of what we've heard about prophecy usually centers around America. And I think it's always been that way. When we look at things, we look at it from our world that's around us. But we don't know what's going on in other places on the earth. And what we are seeing right now is a global situation. We are viewing a global situation where there is human rights violations on a level that is horrendous. We are looking at a situation of atheism that is on the rise in our world. People don't believe that there's no God, but there are those in power around the world that are forcing their beliefs of atheism upon so many, many. When you think about it, it's much like Winston Churchill when he wrote the book, The Gathering Storm, and how he gave a historical account of World War II and how in hindsight they could look into the distance and they could see the gathering storm that was coming. We know a lot about that here in Kansas. We can see the gathering storm coming in the distance, and then we can pretty well predict when it's going to hit. And Churchill wrote about that gathering storm. And folks, I just want to tell us this morning, whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on in your world, whatever is going on in the world, whatever is going on in the church, you've got to get a hold of this and understand that I've got to live for God and be saved no matter what's going on around me. I hope you feel that way this morning. We see a nation called China that is rising. There is a rising storm in the country of China. Much persecution. Churches are being destroyed. People are being cast into prison and never seen again simply by speaking against them. China is claiming disputed land in the South China Sea, I believe it is, and they are building artificial islands out there, and they are making them military islands. They're not doing that because they don't have anything else to do with their money. They're doing it because their goal is to be dominant in the entire world. Amen. Russia has stated just recently and posted a video of a hypersonic missile, a missile that can go 6,000 or 7,000 miles per hour, cannot be stopped by any modern equipment, and showed how that it flew over America and then deposited bombs, different areas from one missile, and blew up many cities in America. We laugh and we scoff about these things, and we say, oh, that'll never happen to us. We are the superpower of the world. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I told someone one time that was real strong and big and all of that, your strength and your quality is not from here down, it's from here up. And from here up in America, we are sick. Amen. The head of America, Washington. And I know this is being broadcast, so somebody's probably listening. And if you're listening, Mr. Biden, I'm talking about you and all the rest of the bunch up there. Amen. Now, if I disappear, you know where I'm probably at. Amen. Somewhere in jail in Washington. Or wherever, praise God. But we are sick. America is a sick country. Amen. And I love America, and I'm glad that I'm an American. I'm thankful that I was born in this country. We have enjoyed freedom for many, many centuries now. But we have leadership, and we have people that are rising up. When I say leadership, I'm not just talking about the president, the vice president, Congress and Senate, and all the rest of the gang up there. I'm talking about the governors. I'm talking about the mayors. I'm talking about all the people, everyone in any kind of position. We are sick from the head to the toe. We're thankful for Augusta. I love our little town here. And I was told not too long ago by one of our police officers here in Augusta that the crime rate here statistically or per capita is bigger here in Augusta than it is in Sedgwick County. And that says an awful lot about our country. It's not just about us here, but it is about our country. And I asked one of the student resource officers here in Augusta, I'm familiar with some of the police officers still, and I said, what is the biggest problem that you face in the high school here in Augusta? And he said, the thing that we fight mostly is girls taking nude pictures of themselves and sending them to other friends. And a very narcissistic society where the only thing that's important is me. Amen. The only thing that is important is what I'm doing in my life. And if you offend me by something that you say or by something that you do, then it fits the bill of a crime almost. Amen. We are a sick society. But I don't want to say this here this morning to make you feel depressed at all. But the truth and the reality of it is, Jesus is coming very soon. Amen. North Korea is a very ever-present threat to world peace. India and Pakistan have fought against each other, and that is a powder keg that is about to explode. It is really disturbing to me that Iran, they have dragged their feet, the rest of the world has dragged their feet, and now Iran, by some accounts, is only weeks away from getting a nuclear bomb. And they already have the intercontinental ballistic missile that they can mount it on the tip of it. And they have stated openly and many, many times they have done this. They have said that they are going to destroy Israel and they are going to attack America. Amen. Now, folks, when your enemy says that about you, you better listen. But we're not listening because we are spiritually deaf. Amen. And it really mirrors a time that was in the day of Noah. Amen. The time when everywhere you went, there was violence. Everywhere you went, there was theft. Everywhere you went, there was all kinds of sin all around. Amen. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, "But as the days of Noah were," verse 37, "so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Amen. We are literally looking not only as not only looking at America as being a sick body, but we are looking at the world as being that way. Amen. It doesn't matter where you're talking about, doesn't matter what or who you're talking about in a world setting. Amen. We are filled with sin in our world. He said it was that way in Noah's day, and it would be that way in the days of the coming of the Lord. Amen. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you read the news on a regular basis, I've pretty much abandoned that lately. It's been a few months now. I haven't been reading hardly anything. I just pick up a little bit here and there. But here is where we're at, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Say amen when you get there. Amen. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Is that our day today? Yes. I think it is. "Covetous," in other words, they want things that other people have. Is that our day today? Amen. I think it is. "Boasters," proud, those two go together right there. Pride is everywhere in our world. "Blasphemers," amen. Have you ever been around someone that doesn't believe? I mean, it doesn't matter where you work, it doesn't matter where you live. If you profess to be a child of God, you're going to have some sort of persecution because there are blasphemers. "Disobedient to parents." Amen. Is that our day today?
Oh, yeah.
And not only disobedient to parents, but the government has encouraged children to be disobedient to their parents. They can get abortions now without letting their parents know. They can have sex change surgeries without their parents knowing. Amen. Parents in our generation today are not important to the government. But I just want to stop right here for a moment. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what kind of condition your parents are in. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. You can pass that off if you want to, but I want you to know it will not go well with you if you don't honor your mother and your father. Well, praise the Lord. They're not has-beens, and they're not old fogies, as we used to say. They're not. They're precious, and they have wisdom and knowledge that that they can help you with. Well, praise the Lord. Unthankful. Amen. Is that our day today? That's our day today. Unholy. Oh, yes, it's everywhere. Without natural affection. Amen. Without natural affection. Some, and you folks know that I don't talk about abortion a lot. I want to reach those that have had that happen to them. And I don't want anyone to feel like they're not welcome in the house of God, because they are welcome in the house of God. But we have now seen in America alone some 60 million children, and we are now at a place where we have become so used to it that now in one of the states, I believe it's Virginia, they shouted and they might as well worship their own God, because now if you have a child, you can wait 2 or 3 days and decide if you want that child. If not, they will literally kill that child after 2 or 3 days of being born. It's absolutely murder is what it is. It all is. Well, praise God. 60 million children that have been killed. God brought judgment upon Israel because of thousands of children that they passed through to Molech, the god that they were serving. And they passed them through the fire and offered them as sacrifices. God brought judgment over thousands of them, and we are guilty of millions of them. And it is not just in America. It's in China, it's in Russia, it's in every country of our world today. Amen. Well, praise God. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that word incontinent there means without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Amen. It's amazing. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost and experienced salvation in my life, I wanted to go back to church and feel that all over again. Amen. But we're living in a day today, God help us, where folks can feel and experience the powers of the world to come, but are so apathetic about coming to the house of God and feeling that again and worshiping the Lord again. Amen. I'm telling you, we are living in the last days, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. And this is exactly what we're reading on a daily basis. And we have degenerated to a world that is heavy with sin. Turn with me to Isaiah 24 and verse 20. And this is speaking of the end times as well. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. And there's other scriptures. I'm going to finish this here in a moment, but there are other scriptures that talk about the days being lengthened and the days being shortened. That the days will be longer and they will be shorter. And the only way that that can happen is if the axis of the earth is knocked out for some reason, and instead of a stick and a ball rolling consistently around it, it will go back and forth. It will reel to and fro like a drunkard. And there's a reason for this. And it shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. The reason that the scripture says the earth will be knocked out of equilibrium and will begin to spin erratically is because there will be something heavy upon it to throw it out of that equilibrium. Amen. What happens in the physical world is not just confined to the physical world. Amen. It is also a representation of what is taking place in the spiritual world. Praise God. Amen. I wished I could jump up and down and scream and holler and run the aisles here this morning. Amen. Amen. We've got something here, a knowledge and an understanding today that will give us victory and take us all the way to glory. Praise God. Amen. And what is heavy, what has weighted the earth down is sin. Amen. Transgression. Disobedience to God. It is not a light thing, and just because it has happened for millenniums, just because centuries have gone by and the sun still comes up and it still goes down, that does not mean that the judgment of God is about to happen upon our world. And I'm here to say this morning, because of the story of Noah and the parallel of our day today, that Jesus is coming soon. Praise God. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. He's coming soon. And so in the midst of this gathering storm, there were some people who believed the word of God. And Noah, think about this morning. Noah was saved without a Bible. Most of us have one. Amen. Anybody that does not have a Bible here this morning, we'll get one for you if you don't have one. They're readily available. Noah was visited by the Lord and given dimensions and warnings of things to come. And what we have today is preaching from the Word of God. We have the Bible, we have the Word of God, and we have preaching from the Word of God. How many of you appreciate the preaching of the Word of God? I love preaching. Amen. There's something about it. It will change your life. Amen. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 talks about it. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Amen. He was afraid, even though there were things that had not been seen as of yet. Amen. Faith looks into the future. Now, what did he do after he was moved with fear? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Praise God. Things that have not been seen yet, he was moved with fear. Praise God. You know, there are times that I tremble with fear when I look at the things that are going on in our world. When I look at myself and I look at eternity, I fear. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if we're just going to toodaloo our way into heaven, the chances are we may not even get there. Amen. Life is not tiptoeing through the tulips with your little ukulele. Amen. And your curly hair. Praise God. and your sissified voice. Some of you might know who I'm talking about this morning. That's back in the old days. Amen. And I forget his name now. Terry, can you remember his name?
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim. Tiptoe through the tulips. Through the tulips. Oh, I thought when I was a kid, I heard that and I saw that guy. I thought, who in the world would even want to listen to that? And I was just a little kid. Well, you're not going to tiptoe through the tulips into heaven. You're going to have to get a hammer in your hand. You're going to have to get a saw in your hand. Come on, somebody help me this morning. You're going to have to haul some wood and shave them down and work and sweat and labor. Amen. Because we are building our salvation. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Well, praise God. And the flood came. The Bible says it there. By the which he condemned the world. Hebrews 11 and 7. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so the flood did come. And I just want to declare this morning that the catching away of the people of God is going to come. And I believe it's going to come very soon. And Jesus told us that it would, and so it will. Matthew chapter 24, and now this is right after the text that we read this morning, where he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The very next thing that he said and he talked about was the parallel of the rapture. Matthew 24 and verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, we don't grind at the mill anymore, and we're not working in the field as it was in their, you know, in their day. So put your job in place of those things. Put your life in place of those things, and it's going to be business as usual, but not just business as usual. It's going to be perversion. There's going to be sin. There's going to be anarchy. There's going to be self-rule. All the things that we've talked about that are happening at the same time. And one is going to be taken and the other left behind. Amen. I want to be taken. Praise God. It's going to take place like a thief in the night, like a snare. It's going to come upon the earth, the scripture says. And it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, in the snap of a finger, and we will be changed, praise God, and we will go to meet the Lord in the air and shall ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And in fact, I'll read that if you don't believe that. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or dead and in their grave. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. And I want to finish this morning on a positive note. There is comfort in all that we've been talking about. There is a source of comfort. And it is that we are getting out of here. Amen. And if we don't see the rapture take place in our life, it will be as you know, just a twinkling of an eye, almost as though, well, I guess my recent experience of having surgery, they pat you on the shoulder, say everything's going to be all right, and then you're out. And it's like a few seconds, and you wake up, and somebody's saying, how are you feeling? And, well, I'm feeling all right. You just patted me on the shoulder. No, it's been 3 hours now. And you know what I'm talking about. Well, when you die, it's not going to be like time. You're going to be in your grave. When you pass away, it will be like the twinkling of an eye. And you will be thousands of feet upon the above the earth. And you will hear the shouting of the people of God as you're raptured up. Amen. Praise God. We're going to get to go first if we have passed away before the rapture. Amen. But either way, it really doesn't make a difference. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. If there's somebody in the church and you know they're going through a trial, just comfort them and let them know the Lord's coming soon. It's going to be all right. And folks, I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. Praise God. I'm telling you again, it's going to be all right. Now, if you want to sit there and think of all the reasons why it's not going to be all right, then it probably won't be all right for you. Amen. And you can grumble and complain right where you're sitting this morning. But I'm telling you what, the rest of us are going to rejoice and wait for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. We're going to finish with this here this morning. And it's talking about Noah again. And that's where my focus is this morning. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. That would be about 120 years right there. Wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. That word few there, somebody said that with me, few. There's going to be few, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few are going to find it. I'm paraphrasing. The way to life. Few are going to find it. But broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So you have few and you have many. Amen. I hear an awful lot about end time revival, and I believe in revival, and I believe there will be an end time revival, but it will take place and it will happen right in the midst of persecution, right in the midst of self-rule, right in the midst of all that we've talked about. Amen. They are talking about these different countries, Iran, that is oppressing Christianity. They are saying that in Iran right now, it is the fastest growing religion in their country is Christianity. In China, they have destroyed church buildings. They have arrested people that believe in Jesus, whatever their faith is. It doesn't matter to the communists. Amen. All you have to do is say the word Bible and you'll never be seen again. Amen. But they say that in China, it is one of the fastest growing churches in the world today. Amen. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing to us that here we are in a free society and we can do what we want and we don't necessarily have to worry about too much? Amen. We are living in a time here in America where people are so complacent and so blessed that they don't have time for God. And all we've learned to do is complain. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm in a good mood this morning. Don't take it wrong. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, we're living in a generation and a time of complainers, people that if it doesn't go their way, they're just going to let everybody know, and they're not going to be happy. Amen. But I'm telling you what, we have something here, amen, that is powerful, amen. which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, God so merciful, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved. How were they saved? Are you looking at your Bible this morning? I'm in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Eight souls were saved by water. Think about that this morning. The water that destroyed the world was the water that lifted the ark up and saved Noah and his family. And so Noah and the flood, the story of Noah and the flood, becomes a beautiful story in different levels and aspects. Eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, verse 21, or in the same way, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Don't listen to anyone that comes along and says baptism is not important, that baptism is not essential for salvation. I'm telling you, it is essential, amen, because whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. The water saved them in the days of Noah, and today, if you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can be saved as well from the destruction. Amen, because the Lord is coming to destroy, and He will destroy the world. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the Scripture says. But there is something that the Lord wants to destroy before that time, and that's the power of sin that's in your life.
That's right.
Well, praise God. I'd rather have Him to do that than to wait and wait and wait until the judgment comes and be one of those that cries out, "Let the rocks fall upon us," because we can't handle this one that is coming. Amen. The fierce wrath of the Lamb, and who shall be able to stand, Scripture says. Nobody's going to be able to stand except those who have taken care of the business of sin in their life. I'm just going to close with this thought. Scripture says in one place, Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Scripture says in one place that some men's sins go before them to judgment, and some men's sins follow after them. I don't want my sins trailing me. I want to get this taken care of. Some men's sins follow after them, and some men's sins are taken care of ahead of time. How can I take care of the sin of my life? It's laid out perfectly and clearly in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. For what? For the remission of sin. Blotting out, wiping out sin in baptism. Amen. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak with other tongues. Say, "Well, I don't have to do that." No, you don't have to do that. You can go into the judgment without the Spirit of God in your life if you choose. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. But I'm telling you this morning, as a snare, the judgment of God is going to come upon this world. But can I add just a little bit to it this morning before we finish? God forbid, but we can walk out the door of this church this morning and get into a terrible car accident and be killed and step out into eternity this day. Amen. It's important to live for God. It's important to do the right thing. Amen. Whatever spirit or whatever thing in your flesh that tells you, don't live for God. I don't know if I can make it or not. Just get all of that out of your spirit and forget about it. And get back to the good old Word of God. And pick up your hammer. Amen. Pick up your saw. And get busy doing something for God. Well, praise the Lord. Just get busy doing something for God, because God has called you to do something for Him. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen. If you believe that, stand with me here this morning. If you don't believe that, stand with me this morning. No, I wouldn't. Got to be careful here this morning. Praise the Lord. I think we all believe this. But let it be more than just belief in your mind and the facts and the figures and all of that. Let it be transformed from your mind to your heart. Amen. So that we can serve the Lord with gladness in the midst of trials and tribulations. We can go out and preach the Word of God and see many souls saved into the kingdom of God. Let's love Him together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray Your Word gets into our hearts this morning. I pray Your hand upon the church. Pray Your hand upon each and every one this morning. Lay Your hand upon us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we just love Him together? Can we just give God thanks this morning from our hearts? I thank You, Lord. I praise You this morning.